Father, we are always very grateful, very humble, and very thankful for your faithfulness towards us, your ever abounding love. Thank you so much that you feed the hungry and you always satisfy the thirst of your people. So tonight we yield to you, Spirit of the living God. We ask, O God, that you just baptize us with your presence, Spirit of wisdom and revelation. Father, continue to strengthen us, continue to establish us, continue to inspire us, continue to edify us as we wait upon your promises for our generation. Receive all the glory, all the honor and praises in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God is faithful. God is good. And God never fails. Tonight, I just, most times, you know, as we wait on this line, hearing and learning together, sometimes it's usually things that God has encouraged me with, things that God has inspired me and really edified me with. I feel there's somebody on the line that might need the same encouragement, same edification. So one of the things I want to share, probably you've heard it before, but God always from time to time will just share things to say, you know, I'm still there. I don't fail. I'm faithful to my covenant, my promises. So I just want to share about, you know, what God uses or the wisdom of God in building or maturing our faith, matured faith, or, you know, just experiencing or walking or being or God building us where our faith, we come to a place you can truly say you are a matured believer, a matured believer, you know. First, I really want to thank God so much for the commitment that you carry on this line and those that are not even here in the area of intercession. I remember, you know, so reading the book of Luke, you know, there were so many prophecies that has been given and released, you know, from Malachi all the way back to the other prophets, Isaiah. So all these prophecies has been given, you know, and Israel had all these books written. But there was a period of time where there was nothing, no prophecy. It was like a dark moment in Israel's life, but a 400 years period from Malachi before Christ came. In that interval of time, a lot of things happened. They call it the dark moments, where it appears like, where is God? There was a few things that were happening then, but no major thing that really highlights the God of Israel is still there. In that moment, the Roman Empire stepped in at one point and literally started ruling the world and dictating, and, you know, everybody was subjected to the Roman Empire, and they were just in power. At that time, there was a woman by the name of Hannah that God found. And this woman gave herself, the Bible says in Luke, she gave herself to prayer night and day. Night and day. Not only that, she consecrated a life of fasting. The Bible took note of her. She gave herself night and day. Up to the time she was into her 80s, you know, she was praying. And then there's another man that lived in that time. His name is Simeon. The man probably is also a man of prayer that received the word from the Lord that God will not, he will not die until he sees the fruit of his labor in the things of God. So it happened that they were in the temple, you know, at the same time, just showed up one day, and here it is, prophetically with spiritual eyes, they were able to see the fruit of what God has impregnated them with. Because nothing happens on earth without people being pregnant with what God carries, what God has in mind, without them being pregnant with it and then praying it into the physical realm. So the kind of faith that God is looking for to release God's heart, God's purpose, God's plan, what God knew he will manifest in any generation, they are what we call matured faith. Faithful, committed faith. This is how it works. Jesus gave us this training, this example that Jesus applied. He says when we pray, you know, we say, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come." Okay, let the force of the kingdom of heaven come. But your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As it is in heaven. So Jesus is saying that we have to, for God's plan to happen in earth, God must have partnership in the earth. So Simeon and Hannah were those kind of people in their time. And the Bible took note of it and made a clear testimony of their matured faith. What is a matured faith? Jesus gave us an illustration of matured faith, what God is looking for in the parable or illustration he gave about a woman and an unjust judge. In that story, at the end of it, in Luke 18, Jesus says, "When I come, can I find this kind of faith?" That faith is called matured, a faith that has attained its maturity. So, how did that transpire? How did God build that kind of faith? You know, how does God develop faith like that? He gave that illustration. He says, a woman went to an unjust judge and was looking for vindication. And it went on. She would go. The judge, no response. She would go. She went, who knows how many years, how long. But she kept pleading. She kept pleading. She kept going. She kept on. She did not stop. And she continued and continued and continued until there was a shift. And when that shift took place in the judge's heart, the judge released her vindication. Now, the same parable Jesus gave, but this time in Luke 11, Jesus gave it as a key to the prayer he taught the disciples to pray. After he taught them this model of our Lord's prayer, then he gave them this illustration, and in that illustration is found the key, developing a matured faith. He says there's a friend at midnight, friend came for bread to another friend's house, and he didn't have the bread. So now this friend left his friend, went to another friend that has bread. So in this place, there is bread. Here is this illustration Jesus gave. He says there is bread in this room, and the person that has the bread has closed the door. So the door is closed, and this person is on this side knocking for bread. He's guaranteed there is bread, so he kept knocking. And from the other side, he kept hearing, "No way, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen." He kept knocking. He kept knocking. It's not going to happen. He kept knocking. It's not going to happen. He kept knocking. "No, we're in bed. We can't get up. It's too late. The door is shut." But he kept knocking. What is that knocking and waiting? You know, that's Jesus gave that as the key. He says, suddenly the friend, finally there was a shift that took place. As the shift took place, when the faith has come to a place of maturity, the shift took place, and the friend said, "Open the door," gave him as much as he wanted. Now, in these two illustrations, you see the life of Hannah. You see the life of Simeon. They built an altar between heaven and earth until what was on God's heart that God spoke to the prophets literally became flesh and blood in their eyes. They saw what they were pregnant with, and it came to pass. They saw it with their eyes. But it took them time. It took them years waiting. So how does it work? What is the Lord saying to us about maturing our faith, about building our faith? Because that's what God is looking for. In the story of the bread, you know, the way, let's just get a picture of this. Faith is the substance of the things we hope for. All right? It's a substance. It's something tangible. It's a reality. We are hoping for it. It's a promise. But we don't have it physically evident to us. It's not there. So you say faith is the substance of things we hope for. The evidence of it, we cannot see. So, let's say it's a promise. God gives a promise, like a Messiah will be born. Or a promise, Joseph, you're going to be something. Or a promise, whatever the promise is, God speaks it, gives it in a dream, or gives it in a vision, or speaks it to you. It might be you're going to be rich. It might be you're going to be healed. It might be your eyes will be open. It just whatever it is a promise, scriptural promise. So what God is saying now is, then he goes to Hebrews from 1 to 6, and he gives the process. He says, he that comes to God must believe he is God. In other words, you must determine who you are approaching. Is he the one that gave the promise? Does he have the capacity to deliver? Does he have what you're looking for? In the case that Jesus gave or the friend at midnight, the bread is there. The problem is not that the bread is there. The problem is who can transition that bread from the place that is locked to the place that is available for those who need it. So Jesus is saying there's no shortage of power in heaven. There is no shortage of promises in heaven. God himself has made a covenant with himself that the things he's promised will be delivered. But now heaven is looking for matured faith. Matured faith transitions what God has capacity to give, what heaven has, breaks it through the spiritual atmosphere and brings it to the physical world where people who need it can eat of it, can partake of it. People who need the bread, who need the healing, who need to see the glory, who need whatever it is, will be able to see it visibly in the natural world. So faith is a substance, is a reality. So God is real. The promises of God are real. They are substance, they are reality. So God is saying the process is you must believe there's a reality out there. Heaven has the bread. Heaven has what you're asking for. The promise is there. God's hands are not shortened. God is not limited. All the power is there. What we're looking for is there. And God is bound by his promise. So is there. He says, so when you come to him, you must first of all process, settle in your mind, and make up your mind who you are asking this from. So the question is, if you really settle in your heart that the bread is in that room, and the person has the bread, like Jesus is saying, then God is looking for how desperate you are to get that bread. So God is looking for desperate faith that now is able to sustain a waiting process eventually that matures to manifesting things from the heavenlies to the physical realm. So we start knocking. So God says, then God goes further in Hebrews 11:6. He says, he is a rewarder. He that comes to God must believe he is God, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Who diligently seek him. So he says, God will give you what he has promised. In other words, God will not withhold his covenant promise. That's the word he will reward. What does God reward? He rewards his promises. He rewards his promises. How does God reward his promises? He says there must be a test of diligence. If you study that word, diligence is the same principle for what God gave in that parable of the friend at midnight. He says that friend was not interested in opening the door, was not interested in giving him bread. He's gone to bed. His children are gone to bed. The door is shut. So God is saying the need, the provision is there, but it is impossible. The situation is impossible for you to get it. Who can make it possible? So God is saying diligence. He said he did not open the door and give him bread because he's his friend. He says he opened that door because of his persistency, his perseverance. What is he persevering about? What is he persisting about? This friend at midnight, the one that came that needed bread, this is the key. God is saying, there's a need out there. Somebody came and said, I need bread. I need food. I'm going to die. Immediately, he became burdened with that need. He became pregnant with that need. Now, he goes to where the bread is. And definitely there's bread there. So, he goes to where the bread is. He's now pregnant with a need. He's now burdened with a need. So, he begins to knock. He begins to knock and knock and knock and knock until that door breaks through and the bread comes. So, the principle is, again, in the book of, you see this principle in the book of Psalms 126. He that goes about sowing, casting seeds, will likewise come back again with precious fruit. Psalm 127. Now, here's the key about sowing and about reaping that is described in prayer. Is the same principle with pregnancy. Somebody plants a seed in a woman's womb. There is no way the woman will give that birth to that seed until that child matures in the womb. Until a child is matured, it cannot release, it cannot come into the physical world. But the pregnancy begins with a seed. And the seed goes through a process of months of incubation. But the pregnancy is there. And that's the difference between a woman that's not pregnant and a woman that's pregnant. A woman that is pregnant does not have a choice. She will carry that pregnancy. She will sustain it until that child in the womb reaches its maturity. At the point of maturity, that child must come out. The child has no choice. The woman has no choice. There will be a breaking forth. That child will come out of the womb. That breaking forth is only when that child is matured. That's the same thing Jesus was describing in Luke 18 when he says, God is looking for matured faith. In other words, faith that has been tested, faith that has been tried, but the faith will not quit believing what God has promised until the faith is matured enough to transition that thing from the spiritual to the physical. That's the birthing, the breaking through, the birthing. Many people give up a promise. Many people give up dreams. Many people give up expectation. And so many times, the things we're believing, it looks like God is a liar. It looks like God is a failure. But here is what finally the Lord started really making this thing clear. In John chapter 19, verse 30, that's when Jesus says, it's finished. It's done. It's finished. I've done it all. It's finished. Now, you can ask the Father anything in my name shall be done. So it's a finished work. Everything has been paid for. Every Satan has been defeated. Every promise is now yes and amen. So now God is saying, all that, the only way to receive those things is through matured faith. Through faith. Our faith does not just mature overnight. From the woman with the unjust judge, it wasn't the first time he asked the judge that things came. She was disappointed, but she kept on. And she kept on. And she kept on because she knew she was pregnant with vindication. And the other guy was pregnant with bread. So it wasn't the first time, it was a process. So like I said, with planting a seed in the ground, you wait for maturity, it's harvest time. If a woman is pregnant, you wait for maturity, it's birthing time. It's the same principle with revival. It's the same principle with any form of breakthrough or promises in our life. But here is the process. Let me read a scripture to show you how God allows our faith to be matured. And most times, we don't understand that's what he's doing. In the book of James, chapter 1, he says, verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you are faced with diverse temptation or trials, maybe needs or things that we're believing God or circumstances that come and, you know, we're facing these things. He said, knowing this, that the trying, the testing of your faith, our faith, worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work. Her perfect work. You see that? That word perfect means maturity. Let patience come to maturity. Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect, that you may be matured and entire, complete, lacking nothing, wanting nothing. Amen? Then he goes for that. If anyone lack wisdom, let him ask God that giveth to all liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. 8. A double-minded man is unstable in his ways. See what God is saying. Hebrews 11:6 says, he that cometh to God must cross the line of settling who you are asking, who you are seeking, who you are looking to before you begin. So he said, when you come to him, you must know his God. Because as you start the process, he said, let that man not be double-minded, not be wavering. Because a wavering or double-minded is a sign of lack of, you know, the kind of faith God is looking for. You see? So he said, he must ask in faith. And the faith he's talking about is your focus. You're pregnant with your focus. With those illustrations that I just gave. You're pregnant with your focus. So, if you look at the book of James, what he's saying here is, everything we go through as believers, God is looking for faith, our faith to be matured through our trials. There is nothing God cannot restore that we lose. There is nothing God cannot redeem that we think is being so damaged. There is nothing God cannot recreate if needs that. There's nothing God cannot resurrect. So most times we limit whatever we're going through to, once I've lost this, once this has happened, once that has happened, it's over. But with God, he's saying, no matter the circumstance, no matter the situation we are in, if we will just trust God, whether we saw that thing or not, whether we received or not, whether we got a breakthrough or not, as long as we trusted God, whether the person died, you're praying for somebody died. God is saying, as long as you trusted him, as long as you never wavered, that's not what God is looking for, is that you were consistently believing. No matter what happened, Lazarus died. Why people were praying? They gave up after he died. You know, but you don't know what God is doing. The point is, in every trial, whether you see the breakthrough now or later, God, don't quit. That's what he's saying. So, it's all a process of training. I've gone through some times where I'll be praying for something, and I never really see that thing, and the time passes. So, what will happen is sometimes the enemy will come to my mind, or my reasonings will be to say, oh, I'm not going to believe for this anymore. I believe last time, you know, it never really happened. It never came to us, you know. I don't want to believe again, and it doesn't happen, you know, or I don't receive this. So I begin to reason and rationale. But the fact that whatever I believed before did not happen, this time God is saying, did God change? Have I changed? So it wasn't God. It was probably, I wasn't where I'm supposed to be, but the efforts I made is leading me somewhere. I still have to say God is still the same. He cannot change. He cannot fail. He is not limited in power. If there's anything, it is me that needs to grow a little closer and further. And that's why the widow woman, when she heard no, anybody could have taken it as failure. Maybe he went to court the first time, the case was against him. He went the second time, it was against her. He went again, it was against. She would have quit and said, all my prayers was in vain. I've lost this case. I've lost this situation. And then retire. Go home. Or the man knocking. He would have knocked and said, I've tried my best. I've knocked. They are sleeping. I mean, I can't keep waking them up. I'm tired of knocking. I've done what I can. I've done my best, and I've heard it's not going to work. Let me go home and, you know, find another solution for this brother that don't have food. So there are many things that cause us eventually, because we're human, to try and fail, try, he fails, he tries, he fails, and then we say, we've tried, let's just give up. Edison, the man that created the light that every generation depends on today, according to history, they said he tried what, 999 times or something, and it was just one last moment and everything shifted. The time he was trying was not a failure. The time he was trying was not a loss. It was that process that finally brought him to that one last trial, and it worked. So what happened to the judge? If that woman stopped, she wouldn't have known that there is a shifting point. If the friend at midnight stopped, every effort the friend started making before the man changed his mind and opened the door would not have happened. So when a child is growing in the womb, the reason why it's naturally okay for us to wait is because we know the child is there. But in the things of the spirit, we don't see that way. That when God has given us a dream or a promise, when we are praying, this thing is maturing. It's maturing. It's building. But our faith is being matured also. So that by the time God releases the breakthrough, our faith is in a position to steward it the right way. So I want to read another scripture to you, as the Lord was just reminding me about his faithfulness. About this thing we're talking about. In Hebrews chapter 6, here is what Paul was writing here. Say verse 9, it says, but beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and the things that accompany salvation, deliverance, though we thus speak. He said, for God, verse 10, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. He says God is not unrighteous. He cannot forget one step of action you've taken towards faithfulness towards him. Anything at all you've done, because you're doing it in the name of the Lord, no matter how small it is, he says God is not unrighteous to forget it. But here's what he says. He says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown towards his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and you still do minister. He says, and we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. In other words, sustain what you're doing until you see the reward. Or sustain what you're doing until you begin to see the fruit transition to the physical realm. Verse 12, then he gave this example. He says, that you be not slothful. Don't get lazy. Don't give up. Don't let your mind, your reasonings eventually just cause you to give up. He said, be not slothful, but follow us. Imitate us. That word follow us means imitate us. Be imitate. Follow us. That you be not slothful or lazy, but followers of them who through faith and patience be imitators of those, examples of those who through faith. This is where he separated just the faith that comes from you just getting a vision. Oh, I just got this big vision. I just got this revelation from the Lord. I just got this prophetic word. This is what God is going to do. But he separated it from the word patience. That word patience is that word matured faith. Is the characteristics for a matured faith. He says that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience, meaning is now matured, inherit the promise. Inherit the promise. Who through faith and patience, matured faith, or the diligence of faith, or the persevering faith, inherit promises. Then he started giving an example. He said, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying to Abraham, surely there's somebody on the background that is making noise. Yes, sorry about it. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. He swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. Now listen to this, verse 15. And so, after he, Abraham, had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. After he, Abraham, patiently endured, he obtained the promise. What is he saying? After Abraham's faith has been tested, his faith came to a place of maturity and he has obtained the promise. Matured faith. So, and when God tested Abraham, used Abraham, the father of faith, as an example, look at what the Bible testifies of him. That God gave him a promise. And because God cannot lie, God interposed the promise with an oath. Meaning, John 1:1, God is his, in the beginning was the word, and God, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So God's word is God. So God is saying, I gave my word to Abraham, which is I gave myself as a promise to Abraham that I will bless you. That's it. So God has spoken. So how was Abraham tested? Abraham believed it. We get excited. It's a promise. It's a revelation. But then the test started. The maturity that will eventually birth what God has promised from the spirit to the physical started. And Abraham's faith was growing, maturing. But finally, when Abraham's faith was really going to now mature, guess what the maturity was? Sarah's womb died. Why did Sarah's womb die? Because faith has nothing to do with anything you see with your physical eyes. Faith is the substance of things you hope for. In other words, there are things that are in the spirit. You have to now bring it to the physical. So when Sarah's womb died, that was the biggest and final transitional test to mature Abraham's faith. Now, so the best thing is, so Abraham, look at your wife now. Her womb is dead. So does that stop what I promised you? In their mind, it affected their mind, but it didn't change Abraham's heart. Because the Bible says Abraham never wavered in faith. He was strong still, believing God, confessing things that be not as though they were. But it affected their mind. We all go through that, you know, but the heart did not change. Because their mind, through the struggle of their mind, Ishmael was born. But God still came to Abraham because his heart was steadfast and said, Abraham, it's still going to happen and it's going to be through Sarah. God's promises has nothing to do with what you see, has nothing to do with what you feel. That's what faith is about. Faith has nothing to do with feelings. Faith has nothing to do with what you see with your physical eyes. Paul says we walk by faith, not by what we see, sight. So our maturing as Christian believers is no matter what we're going through, no matter where we are, the physical things that are trying our health, our finances, our family, our children, those things we see, those things we feel, those things we hear from them has nothing to do with what God has promised us he can do. So when we ignore all the pressure we feel in the physical, all the things that speak loud to us in the physical, that tell us it's over, it's impossible, I've lost my child, I've lost no salvation, he's gone, he can't come back, I have this and that. All those, what they are just asking you is, do you believe what God said about them? Do you believe what God promised you in the scriptures more than what you see and what you're feeling about the physical situation? That's the trial of faith. That's why James says, when these kinds of situation has passed their test over and over, you come to what he called a matured faith. Let patience have its perfect work, matured work, so that you be matured and entire, lacking not a means. Faith has come to a place of maturity, where everything you begin to do with God now is not limited by what you see. Is based on what God has spoken, on what you've seen in the spirit, what God is saying. That's what it means by walking in the spirit. Walking in the spirit doesn't mean you disappear. It means really living out the reality of what God has said more than the reality of what man or circumstances is dictating. And this is not something you learn overnight. Is something you practice with every little circumstance that we live in. And as you grow in it, you mature gradually in it. And as you mature gradually, God begins to perfect it. So see the whole reason why God was training Abraham's faith for 25 years. When God finally has trained Abraham, and his faith has come to maturity, Isaac was born. Here, when Isaac was born, Abraham's faith is now matured. Now, with this matured faith, God now says, now, Abraham, let's do business. I'm going to manifest a mystery through you that only this level of faith that you have come into will manifest. I want to use you as a type and shadow of what is to come, that will release sons and daughters into the earth. So Abraham, I'm going to show you the example. Unless a corn of wheat goes into the ground and die, it cannot multiply itself. So take your son, your only son Isaac, and put him on the altar. Do you think Abraham could have done that 2-3 years before? No, but now Abraham's faith is matured. What is a matured faith? A faith that is completely dependent on the spiritual realm, no more in the physical. Abraham took Isaac. 3 days' journey, he didn't shake his mind. He says, I'm going to lay this child on the altar. I'm going to slaughter him, and God will raise him up if he chooses. That's a matured faith. It's no wavering. You are at a place now where you're walking with God. Abraham didn't just do that as a natural man. He stepped into the realm of the spirit by faith. There are certain things God will not require us to manifest in the earth until our faith has been matured. And we have to be tried and tested so that we now have a platform of matured faith before God can build upon it in the earth and do exploits with it. So Abraham exemplified exactly what God did with Jesus on the cross. The only man that could do it. Exemplify that on Mount Moriah. God did the same thing with his son, and Abraham became the father of faith, as in relation to a human being in the earth. Abraham became an example of a father of faith, a man that entered into a place of maturity that God can trust to live out God's principles in the earth by faith. And he's called the father of faith. And he's used as an example before Christ. So my brothers and sisters, the question Jesus asked in Hebrews, Luke 18, when the Son of Man comes, will he find matured faith in the earth? So we should not waste our trials. Our trials will come. They come all the time. Let's take advantage of them and develop our faith. Let's develop our faith. No matter what it is, let's begin to ask God to give us the grace to take advantage of the trial and grow our faith. God wants to reveal sons and daughters in these last days, and these are sons and daughters that their faith has been tested. Why did I share this tonight? Because God is inspiring all of us and encouraging us. I didn't share this tonight because most of you on this line, you are just getting off the bus. I shared it tonight because you are the people God will say your faith is come to maturity. Most of you on this line, you might be wondering, I've been praying for years, I've been doing this, I've been doing that, nothing has happened. That's the key. That's the process. That's exactly how it looks like when God has brought you to that place of maturity in faith. God has not forgotten your labor of love. God has not forgotten your ministry, your waiting. You're like Hannah, you've been praying. There and now you've been serving. You had needs, you have this. Sometimes you've not seen so many unanswered to prayer, just like Sarah, just like many people. But things can shift overnight. That person knocking at that door, he's been knocking for a long time, but he never knew. It might just be one more knock. He didn't know that things have matured. And it was a shift. The widow woman, she would not know. Maybe one more action of the judge before things shifted. That's maturity. So the same way I'm speaking to you tonight, 2018, I believe, is a year of reward. I believe there's a lot of maturity. It's almost like a lot of people have come to a place of matured faith. Now that which the substance of what you're waiting for, it's like a pregnant, something is about to move from the spiritual into the physical. And that's reward. A pregnant woman gets rewarded the day the child is born. So I really prophesy, speak over you tonight, that your labor, your years of waiting, your years of seeking, it doesn't matter what you've lost of, there will be restoration as the word God has spoken. There will be a reward. There will be recovery. There will be a very refreshing time this year that God will give to those who have diligently sought him. That's just the wisdom of God. So let's not stop knocking now. Let's not stop seeking. This year might just be that one year we knock once more and heaven breaks forth. And everything we're looking for, bread for the hungry, miracles for a generation, signs and wonders for a lost generation, the glory of God that people are crying for, the river of life that heals everywhere he goes. Who knows? Maybe one more year can change history. So let's stay on this altar. Let's be hopeful. But be encouraged tonight. And your faith, your labor in prayer is not in vain. God bless you. Amen.